Executives of a Florida charter service face federal charges. Hawker Beechcraft confirms layoff rumors. And NASA delays the launch of Discovery by a week. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, February 5th, 2009. Six executives of a Florida-based air charter service face federal criminal charges in connection with the crash of an overloaded jet which couldn't get off the runway at Teterboro, New Jersey in 2005. Acting U.S. Attorney Ralph J. Mara Jr. tells the New Jersey Star-Ledger that Platinum Jet Management of Fort Lauderdale claimed to be a luxury charter service, but didn't hold the required certificate, falsified flight records, and routinely overloaded planes with fuel at airports where it was cheaper to top off. Quote, "The fuel loading was the primary contributing factor in the crash. It's astounding and criminal that owners and operators of jet aircraft would repeatedly engage in such a dangerous game with passengers and airplanes loaded to the brim with jet fuel," unquote. On the morning of February 2, 2005, the pilots started a takeoff roll in the Challenger CL-600 with eight passengers on board. When the pilots found the plane wouldn't rotate, they tried to abort the takeoff, but crashed through a perimeter fence and out across six lanes of traffic on busy Route 46. One car's roof was torn off, and the plane finally stopped after hitting a clothing warehouse. The National Transportation Safety Board ruled the plane had a center of gravity forward of limits. Nobody died, but the NTSB came down hard on the company for a host of violations, and on the FAA for inadequate oversight. Michael Brassington, the 35-year-old president, CEO, and chief pilot, his brother, 29-year-old VP Paul Brassington, and two other execs of Platinum Jet are in custody, and warrants are out for two more. The captain of the flight that crashed at Teterboro reportedly lied about his experience on job applications and had been fired from a previous job for safety issues and poor airmanship. Neither pilot was charged in the Teterboro case. Hawker Beechcraft CEO Jim Schuster has confirmed to employees the company will cut 2,300 positions, many at the end of this week. The Wichita Business Journal reports Schuster made the announcement in a company-wide memo, but did not address the number of cuts by location. The memo reads, in part, quote, "We at HBC have conducted a sweeping evaluation of our business plans and implemented a wide range of measures to dramatically reduce our costs. As a consequence of these actions, we will be forced to reduce our workforce by approximately 2,300 employees before the end of the year," unquote. Friday marks the 91st day since Hawker Beechcraft's earlier layoff of 490 workers, escaping by one day requirements of the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act to provide 2 months' compensation in layoffs of 500 people or more within a 90-day period. Workers affected by the new round of cuts, of course, will get that benefit. Schuster also slammed political pandering, which exploits public misconceptions about the role of business aircraft as, quote, "a wasteful extravagance instead of a critical business tool and the source of millions of American jobs," unquote. Notably, Schuster could not say whether these layoffs would be the last for HBC. Quote, "The bottom line is that we must be prepared to do whatever is required to make certain that we successfully emerge from the downturn," unquote. During a review on Tuesday of Space Shuttle Discovery's readiness for flight, NASA managers decided to plan a launch no earlier than February 19th. That's 1 week later than original targets. The new date accommodates additional analysis and particle impact testing associated with a flow control valve in the shuttle's main engines. That valve is one of three that channels gaseous hydrogen from the engines to the external fuel tank. NASA found one of those valves damaged in Endeavour after that shuttle's mission in November. As a precaution, Discovery's valves were removed, inspected, and reinstalled, but the cause of the problem is still not known. NASA also said this week it will delay a repositioning of the International Space Station until March to allow troubleshooting of rockets on the Zvezda service module, which cut off suddenly on the last attempt to reposition. The station must be periodically lifted to counter decay in its orbit. A third update from the National Transportation Safety Board on its investigation into U.S. Airways Flight 1549 confirms that remains of birds were found in both engines of the Airbus A320, which became famous in the Miracle on the Hudson. The board also appears to dismiss any connection between a surge in the plane's right engine January 13th and the failure that led to the forced landing 2 days later. Passengers on that earlier flight said there was a loud banging noise from that engine, followed by an announcement that the flight would be returning to LaGuardia. Instead, the engine was successfully restarted and the flight continued on to Charlotte. The NTSB now says maintenance personnel found that engine had a defective temperature sensor, replaced the sensor, and followed up with a borescope inspection that confirmed no internal damage before returning the plane to service. The board also says the engine was in compliance with applicable bulletins and airworthiness directives. The bird remains have been sent to the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, where they will be tested to identify the species. Up next on ANN, the Colombian Air Force will train its pilots in American kit planes. NTSB says offshore helicopter operators need a backup communications plan. And Korean Air opts for more A380s. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800 for Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 5th. I'm Paul Plack. Kit planes comprise an increasing portion of the general aviation fleet, but now they're also breaking through to military applications. Lance Air International says it will provide 25 of its legacy FG kits to the Colombian Aviation Industry Corporation for use by the Colombian Air Force as trainers. The special version of the kit, dubbed the Synergy, has a 15% bigger wing, leading edge cuffs, and ventral fin, changes to make the plane more docile for training while preserving its performance and efficiency. The new Colombian trainers are powered by certified Lycoming IO390 four-cylinder engines. Current plans call for the completion of one aircraft per month in Colombia beginning this August 15th and increasing to two per month by the end of the year. The NTSB has issued a recommendation to the FAA urging all offshore Gulf helicopter operators to evaluate their communication contingency plans in the aftermath of a major event. The advisory follows a ditching in which 10 passengers and two pilots on board a Sikorsky S-76 operated by Houston Helicopters all made it out with injuries of varying severity, but were forced to wait in the cold waters of the Gulf for more than 7 hours before they were rescued. That accident happened a week after Hurricane Katrina. The board blamed the accident in part on pilot fatigue, but also criticized HHI for operating without providing a replacement for communication systems that were taken out by the storm. Quote, although other Gulf offshore helicopter operators secured alternate means for their pilots to communicate with their base operations, HHI management suggested that its pilots use their own cellular phones or request assistance from oil platform personnel to relay flight departure information to base operations, unquote. Reliable cell phone service was not available in the area after Katrina. Two people were killed about 3 p.m. Sunday when their small SUV was struck by a Piper PA-18 Super Cub rolling for takeoff from a private airfield in the Florida Panhandle. The Tallahassee Democrat reports Dennis Boyle and Carmen Langston, both 56 years old, were riding in the vehicle alongside the Cub that was being flown by Carmen's 54-year-old husband, Mac. The aircraft's left wing hit the SUV, sending it into a tree. Mac Langston aborted the takeoff. Neither he nor his 27-year-old passenger, Marissa Walton, were injured. Walton is the girlfriend of the Langston's son. NTSB is expected to release a preliminary report by early next week. Investigators want to know why the Jeep was so close to that moving plane. Korean Air has given Airbus a welcome bit of news this week, exercising options for two more A380s, increasing its total orders for the type to 10. Korean Air plans to operate the Super Jumbos in a three-class layout on routes that link Seoul to destinations in North America and Europe, including Los Angeles, New York, and Paris. Yang Ho Cho, chairman and CEO of Korean Air, calls the A380, quote, a comfortable, environment-friendly aircraft for the 21st century, and it will enable Korean Air to provide excellence in flight to our customers, unquote. The deal pushes total A380 orders to the 200 mark from 16 customers. So far, there are 12 A380s in scheduled airline service with Emirates, Singapore Airlines, and Qantas. Still ahead, Able Flight names two more scholarship winners. Bombardier Flexjet has a new discount for those who plan ahead. And EAA Chapter 60 tackles a historic project. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, February 5th. I'm Paul Plagg. Mal Zachary of Georgia and Ken Hendrickson of Minnesota became disabled as a result of violence. For Zachary, it was a shot from a robber's gun that left him paralyzed. Hendrickson was thrown from his Humvee by a powerful improvised explosive device. They're years apart in age and were continents apart when their lives were changed forever. But among the things they share in common are that neither believes in self-pity. Both are determined to overcome their physical challenges, and both have now won scholarships through North Carolina-based Able Flight to pay for their flight training. The TBM Owners and Pilots Association Foundation is providing funding for Mal Zachary's training in a specially adapted Sky Aero 600 at Hanson Air Group in Kennesaw, Georgia. Ken Hendrickson will train at LSA North in Lakewood, Minnesota, sponsored by the members of the East Cooper Pilots Association of Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. This is the second year that ECPA has provided support for a wounded veteran in honor of their late friend, Colonel Woody Fison. Mal and Ken are the 21st and 22nd Able Flight Scholarship winners. You can find out more about the program at www.ableflight.org. Fractional provider Bombardier Flexjet has announced an incentive program for owners making quick turnaround trips. Round-trip pricing reduces the cost of 1 or 2 day round trips for owners who commit to at least 100 flight hours per year. The novel program was prompted by owners who said they wanted more cost-effective short-haul travel. The program's expected to become a permanent part of Flexjet's pricing structure. The new program rewards the increased operational efficiency gained when a fractional owner books both legs of a round trip in advance, maximizing active flight and crew time. Flexjet owners will see savings applied to both their hourly rate and fuel component adjustment fees. The result is a 15% price reduction for each hour of a qualifying round trip and can save owners thousands of dollars on each flight. Any owner with 2 shares or more in the fractional program, equivalent to 100 hours or more per year, qualifies. You can find out more at www.flexjet.com/roundtrip. The Wisconsin Aviation Hall of Fame plans a series of events this year to celebrate Wisconsin's centennial of flight. One will be the construction of a quarter-scale model Curtiss Warner Flyer, similar to the one that first flew in Wisconsin in 1909. EAA Chapter 60 has accepted the challenge to complete the model in time for its unveiling at the Wisconsin Aviation Conference, May 4th through the 6th in Eau Claire. The celebration will include statewide events, a traveling exhibit of the model, and a Hall of Fame membership rewards program. To find out more about the celebration or to become a supporter, visit www.aviationhalloffamewisconsin.com. And finally today, back on December 28th, an Aeroflot 767 was getting set to depart New York from Moscow. As passengers boarded, they were alarmed by pilot Alexander Chepleski, whose slurred speech made them suspect he'd been drinking. The London Times cites Russian media in reporting that flight attendants told passengers to stop making trouble and assured them that even if Chepleski was intoxicated, the jet basically flew itself. When Chaplevsky consented to walk back to the cabin to try to ease the growing fear, passengers described bloodshot eyes, difficulty standing, and an incredible promise from the pilot. Quote, "I'll sit here quietly in a corner. We have three more pilots. I won't even touch the controls, I promise," unquote. Russian TV personality Ksenia Sobchak was on the plane and recalled what happened as Aeroflot officials came on board and told Chaplevsky he needed to leave. Quote, "It took him three attempts to say the words duration of flight. Even after Aeroflot personnel asked him to do so, he barely made it out of the cabin," unquote. By the time it was over, Aeroflot had yielded to passenger demands to replace the entire flight crew, making the flight more than 3 hours late departing. Chaplevsky admitted he'd been out celebrating his 54th birthday the night before, but swears he didn't drink. And Aeroflot says tests showed Chaplevsky was not intoxicated. An airline spokeswoman blamed the affair on a mass psychosis among passengers and suggested Chaplevsky may have suffered a stroke before heading to the airport. Oh, well, I can't imagine why passengers weren't completely at ease. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Ron Wagner, Manager of Field Relations for the Experimental Aircraft Association. We'll talk about the surprisingly robust health of the light sport aircraft segment, as evidenced by the success of January's U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring, Florida. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.